This is Under a Sky of Electric Stars, a Star Wars prequel trilogy fanfic written by Shadaris and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated G and contains the pairing Padme Amidala, Obi-Wan Kenobi, with additional tags for politics, speeder chase, established relationship, as part of the Chocolate Box Round 5 collection. Summary. Obi-Wan Kenobi has been assigned to escort Padme Amidala on a mission to Corellia, in hopes of convincing their government to align with the Republic in the early days of the war. Unfortunately for Obi-Wan's nerves, these negotiations don't stay in the boardroom, and he and Padme end up in a speeder chase. "It wasn't supposed to be like this," Obi-Wan reflected, as they swerved through the understraits of Corellia. "They were supposed to be doing politics, not this." At least there hadn't been any blaster bolts yet. Though he could see the possibility of them in their pursuer's attitude, and also the make of their speeder. He wished he didn't need to know that. He wished even more that this had been the nice, peaceful, diplomatic mission it had been described as when he'd been assigned to escort Padme, while Anakin did a month-long training in spaceship maintenance that sounded very useful and also like something Obi-Wan would simply get in the way of. "Duck!" Padme called, and Obi-Wan crouched in the back of the speeder, automatically grabbing hold of the rail as Padme turned a corner. He didn't hear anything scrape, which was good, and as Padme flattened them out onto a crowded street, he raised himself up again cautiously, scanning for any sign of their pursuers. He didn't activate his lightsaber. They'd be too much of a target then. As Padme flew them through the understreets with confidence, Obi-Wan almost wished his Padawan were the one flying instead. As much as he hated Anakin's death-defying piloting stunts, at least he knew the Force was guiding his actions. Padme, on the other hand, was using her merely human reflexes to dart through crowded Corellian traffic. Obi-Wan suspected she'd learned those skills on Coruscant, pretending to be her own handmaid. As they came out of the narrow gap, Obi-Wan saw the other speeder, bulky with armor and weapons they didn't have, turn away. He sighed and slouched into the passenger seat next to Padme. "I think you lost them." "Good." Padme handed Obi-Wan a data pad. "Make yourself useful and figure out where we are and how to get back to the high-rises. I'm curious if exaggerated rumors of my capture or demise have already reached the executives." Obi-Wan took the datapad, bringing up local maps as he remarked, "If they're any good, they'd be giving those rumors now." Padme snorted. "That's how we'd know they weren't good. False information that can be so easily and decisively countered is pointless." "You know that realm better than I do." Obi-Wan shook his head as he looked for convenient landmarks. Even if they were safe, he didn't want to use tracking beacons if he didn't need to. "Who would send assassins after us?" "Off the top of my head, at least 5 corporations and 10 executive officials, if someone convinced them it was worth it." "You think, I love you, but you're being intentionally obtuse right now." Padme looked away from the swarm of humanity for just long enough to fix him with a steely glare. "Use those lauded Jedi instincts." Obi-Wan placed the data pad on her dash, a route highlighted in yellow against the blue lines of buildings. Then he closed his eyes for a moment, breathing deeply to settle himself and let his memories filter the last hour's madcap chase into meaning. There had been a symbol on the pursuer's armor hastily scrubbed off, but by the shape of it...
"Goix,"
he said, as his eyes flashed open, grabbing hold of the speeder's edge with one hand and the data pad with the other as Padme shot them straight up an alley he hadn't thought they'd had clearance for. Padme thought otherwise, and was, unfortunately for his nerves, right.
"The computer people?
They make the central processors battle droids use."
Obi-Wan shook his head.
"Mr. Vricks has been needling us this entire time.
Marshal Extrasis Voy and Executor Uo have been doing the same thing,"
Padme pointed out, jinking around a speeder bike.
"Why not Carmine Combines or CSY?"
Obi-Wan used the Force to deflect fluid, hopefully just runoff from some rain, falling from above. They were almost out of the understreets and back to the surface levels. Corellia wasn't as built up as Coruscant, though it seemed to be doing its best to go that way, in the capital at least.
CSY doesn't care who Corellia sides with as long as they get paid to build ships. Cargo just doesn't like Jedi.
Padme's curiosity radiated in the Force.
"So it's Goix."
"The Diktat won't like that."
"So long as he believes us, it doesn't matter if he likes it."
"The Executive Board will like it less."
Padme snorted.
"Depends how we go about telling them."
Obi-Wan nodded, and didn't respond.
They were slowing down to normal speeds in the Overcity, traveling in legal, and therefore observed, areas. Most visitors to Corellia wouldn't be tracked, but the Republic Senator visiting to ask them to actually involve themselves in the outbreak of war? Obi-Wan had been able to feel eyes following them since before they reached the planet itself. At least now they knew whose eyes, and why.
"My dear,"
he said at last, as they wound their way up to the shining skyscraper that housed Corellia's bureaucracy, which he found even more frustratingly full of twisted rules and laws than usual.
"Do you have a plan?"
Padme reached out a hand and took his.
"Do you trust me?"
"Of course."
"Good."
She looked at him, eyes shining in the madcap way that he'd fallen for to begin with.
"Because you aren't going to like my plan."
Obi-Wan sighed and squeezed her hand.
"Then it must be a good one. I never like those."
"It's going to involve Corday."
"Fuck."
Obi-Wan looked up at the twinkling lights of Corellia.
"I'm going to hate this plan."
"What dangerous stunt are you pulling this time, Padme?"
She laughed and began to tell him. As predicted, he didn't like it. In the end, Mr. Vricks ended up revealing his whole plan in front of the Diktat, though, and the Diktat was horrified enough by the idea that Mr. Vricks was attempting to kill a Jedi and a senator that he agreed to schedule a proper meeting to discuss the possibility of aiding the Republic against the Confederacy, which was what they had wanted all along. If Obi-Wan had, in the process, been forced to play the fool, well, it wasn't the hardest thing he'd done for Padme. That was and always would be, choosing to love her as deeply as he did. The end.